Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter, established in 1987, and also PWTorch.com and the PW Torch app, which is free and available to download right now. Totally redesigned in 2016 from the ground up. Just search PW Torch in the iPhone or Android app store and keep up on all the news and all the results and all the editorials and all the special features with just a click of an app button on your smartphone. Or visit pwtorch.com on your web browser. It's mobile friendly. And also, of course, desktops and laptop computers, pwtorch.com. Also, totally redesigned from the ground up since last fall. And it's very much worth checking out. Lots of great exclusive news stories you won't find anywhere else. Analysis, in-depth coverage, perspective, history pieces, opinion pieces, live pay-per-view coverage, live TV coverage, TV reports on all shows, and more. That's pwtorch.com. By the way, I want to give a shout-out to Kids on Bridges for the music for the PW Torch livecast and all PW Torch VIP audio shows. We really appreciate their giving us rights to use their music to introduce this show and other VIP audio shows. Check them out on various places on the web, including iTunes, Kids on Bridges out of the UK. All right, we're going to start taking phone calls talking about Raw on today's program. You can call us at 646-721-9828. Push 1 on your touchtone phone if you want to join the conversation. We can talk about last night's Raw from the United Kingdom. I am normally joined by Jason Powell on the PW Torch livecast, but post-WrestleMania, we're adding a few other co-hosts into the mix. Jason will still be on regularly. He'll be back, in fact, next week for the full livecast and the VIP exclusive after show. So Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net back next week. But this week, we welcome Johnny Fairplay, long-time friend of the Torch. Usually a friend, right, Johnny?
I feel that way.
Yes.
I hope so.
And reality All TV right. star, former manager in TNA briefly, and also a contestant on Survivor, longtime indie manager, one-time personal assistant to Roddy Piper, and you make pretty frequent appearances on various livecasts, including Wednesdays with Pat. Anything else on your resume that you want to cover? I know I missed probably two or three moments of fame that you have had.
Well, I'm a Survivor Hall of Famer.
Oh, sorry,
but,
yes.
As far as TNA, I had a two-year contract with TNA.
Yes.
I was just used eight times and paid for the other, I don't know, 50 whatever. So,
now,
yeah.
Johnny, if they had that money right now, instead of having paid you for 2 years, if they had saved that money and invested it, do you think that they'd be in better shape today? Are you responsible, Johnny, for the pending demise of TNA that people keep waiting for?
Possibly. I mean, it sounds great. You know, I think it's really peculiar. Like, Ron and Don Harris, you know, they have this legacy that goes back to Jeff Jarrett for quite some time. And if I could see anyone steal the company from Dixie Carter, if I had to pick someone, you know, like, I got no problem with the guy, but if I had to pick, I would point a finger towards, you know, J-E-double-F. And how ironic is it that, you know, today could be doomsday for Dixie, and that trail to Jeff still remains through Ron and Don Harris and whatever that company that they're a part of.
Well, you know, Jeff's going to use that Global Force Gold to buy TNA right out from under Dixie.
That's true.
Oh, man. That is a reputation. That's a reputation killer. I mean, it's just that's embarrassing for Jeff. But that's another topic for another day. Raw last night, Johnny. We usually focus on Raw on Tuesdays, and we'll certainly start taking phone calls very soon here. So let us know what you thought of Raw. Everybody out there listening, 646-721-9828. The phone lines are filling up quickly, so get on board, Johnny. What did you think of last night's Raw? I thought it started out solid and kind of petered out at the end, but some decent wrestling overall.
Yeah, I was happy when we began. My fiance, she's a coach for the local high school JV softball team, and so she got back late,
And it was right before the main event, and she was just like, why are we watching Dean Ambrose versus Kevin Owens for the 18th time? I thought you said they were going with new storylines. So that was kind of disappointing, and I think she was right. Like, why did we need to see Dean Ambrose versus Kevin Owens for the 18th time?
And I think it felt like it often does when they go to Europe that, you know, they put about 40% of the effort in on the show. And the rest, they just kind of put wrestlers out there to have longer matches. You know, the whole League of Nations match with New Day. And, I mean, some of it felt like filler. I thought it was passable filler. I mean, it was good action. And I thought that there was just enough storyline development on Raw in terms of forwarding some things with Payback that it held my interest in that respect for most of the program. I was happy to see Natalya get a title shot. I think that pop that she got in California, in L.A. last week for the tease that she had won the championship put WWE management over the top on deciding to actually give her a featured one-on-one title match at a pay-per-view. I think she deserves it. I think she's a perfect foil for Charlotte. I mean, Natalya, Johnny, is the opposite of Charlotte storyline-wise. You know, Natalya has worked very, very hard and hasn't gotten a lot of breaks. She's not... you know, that's a perception that, you know, she's the workhorse of the division, the ring general, but hasn't been given a lot of opportunities. And Charlotte, of course, just shoots right to the top and then brags about it, but uses her dad's interference and distractions to stay ahead. I like that storyline. I think it's a good feud for Charlotte at this stage of her career, and I think it's nice that Natalya's getting that opportunity too.
Well, it's a super big payoff for anyone that's been watching Total Divas. I mean, like... Natalya is a sad sack on that show. I mean, you know, the first season, it was just so ridiculous. The first season, she, you know, it's Mania weekend, and she's telling everybody, she goes, oh, my family's in town, you know, my dad and my uncle Brett, you know, and I haven't heard if I'm going to be on WrestleMania or not. And I'm once again, I'm looking at my fiance, I'm just like, you know, she knew 4 months ago she wasn't going to be on, you know, like, they're not putting together a last-minute match that includes Natalya, of all people. So, you know, so that was, you know, you have to suspend, you know, it's one of those quote-unquote reality TV things. But then, you know, this past season, you know, TJ's hurt with the neck thing, and, you know, he just has the surgery, and they're like, hey, we really need you at SummerSlam. You know, it's a big deal. And she's like, okay, so she goes. And, you know, she's like, okay, well, what am I doing? They're like, oh, we just need you sitting in the stands during the NXT match. And she's like, okay, so I left my husband, you know, who just had, you know, ridiculous neck surgery, to sit in the crowd. And they're like, yes. And so then it's time for the NXT show. And, you know, she gets her makeup done. And you know, despite the fact that, you know, it's kind of a bummer, you know, at least she was asked. And so then it's, you know, she's about to go out, and they're like, oh, we actually found someone better than you, so you can leave. And it's just like, wow. I mean, I thought the farting gimmick was bad, but what they actually do to her behind the scenes could be worse.
Yeah. No, I think you summarized that well. I want to talk about Total Divas a little bit later with Total Bellas announced now as a spinoff series with Total Divas ratings struggling this last season, down 20-some percent from average. But first, back to Raw for a minute. The Bray Wyatt injury, Johnny, threw, I think, a wrench into whatever they probably had planned as a follow-up to last week's Raw. I talked to Jim Valley about this last Tuesday on the live cast, and I talked to Todd Martin about it on the Fix the VIP exclusive show on Wednesday, and I talked about it with Bruce Mitchell over the weekend on the Bruce Mitchell audio show for VIP members. A lot of conversation, a lot of different theories about what they were doing with Bray and Roman. After last week's show, where do you think they were headed, and do you think it's on hold or discarded at this point based on what you saw last night?
Well, all right, the Bullet Club... I kind of predicted this last week, and now I think they're revealing too much. You know, they're telling you that the Bullet Club is with AJ Styles, and you know, so that means the Bullet Club is not with AJ Styles, and I think they're going to end up with Finn Balor. Like, if they end up with Roman Reigns and they're called the Roman Empire, I mean, that thing's dead out of the water. So, but I think that the gimmick is that, you know, you're going to have, you know, they're supposed to be heels. I don't know how that part's going to work. But, you know, you're going to have Finn Balor, Anderson, and Gallows. and they were to feud with, you know, Bray Wyatt and his guys, which were supposed to be the baby faces, and then, you know, possibly AJ, Roman Reigns, and a third, you know, maybe even John Cena is the third three-man faction, and they just have, you know, the faction wars. So that, so I think right now they're, I think everyone is praying. I think there's a lot of crossed fingers, and I think they're just like, you know, well, let's just let this thigh sit and let's hope for good news next week or at the end of this week. And that's where I think I don't think they went backwards or forwards. I think it's just kind of maintaining until they get confirmation one way or the other on Bray.
Johnny Fairplay is my guest, and after this first commercial break, we're going to come back and start taking your phone calls and talking about more from Raw last night, look ahead to Payback, and heck, you can bring up other topics too. So give us a call, 646-721-9828. Push 1 on your touchtone phone if you want to join us. We'll be right back after this. No matter how you normally listen to the PW Torch Livecast, we invite you to check out the new homepage for this show at pwtorchlivecast.com. It debuted in January 2016, and it is a great headquarters for this program. It not only gives you access to download or stream the latest episodes of the PW Torch Livecast, the layout allows you to quickly and easily catch up on some of your favorite shows. Maybe you missed an interview, or maybe you missed a post-game show, or maybe you missed your favorite Friday show with Bruce and Travis. Whatever it is, it's easy to catch up on shows you missed with a great layout, great access to archives, and there's exclusive content not on the main RSS feed, including best of selections. The weekend of the Royal Rumble 2016, we put up our post-game shows for Royal Rumble 2015 and the Rumble 2016, with all the fallout from the reaction to Batista's win and Roman Reigns' win and the crowd reaction. Relive those moments or listen to them for the first time at pwtorchlivecast.com. Plus, we'll be adding free samples of VIP audio content and more. That's pwtorchlivecast.com. When you want to stream our show live, when you want to listen on demand to a recent episode, or dig deep into the archives and find older episodes, that's the place to go. pwtorchlivecast.com. Check it out. Don't forget, another way to support PW Torch and the PW Torch Livecast is not to type in amazon.com, amazon.com. No, that's so 2015. The new way to visit Amazon is to go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. Click on the US, UK, or Canada link. You land right at the Amazon homepage. Shop away as you plan to, but everything you buy, we get a small commission on. Think of it as that tip jar at the coffee shop. Throw in a few quarters, or maybe a couple bucks if you're on a spending spree with Amazon. It all adds up, and it helps support this show and the hosts and co-hosts who bring it to you. So when you're thinking of shopping at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop in your tracks and do pwtorch.com/Amazon. We sincerely thank those of you who are doing that already, and we would love for those of you who have not done it but who are planning to shop at Amazon to think of us next time. All right, we are back live here at pwtorchlivecast.com, our new time slot, 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific time, on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And that is when I am hosting, and you can check pwtorchlivecast.com for listings and start times for other programs. But Mondays, it's about 20 minutes after Raw ends at 11:30 Eastern. James Caldwell and company give you a review of Raw in-depth right after the show. You can join them live and call in on Monday nights after Raw and vent, or whatever else you want to do in terms of expressing your feelings about Raw. On Friday nights, it's Bruce Mitchell, Torch senior columnist, joined by Travis Bryant from EastCoastCast.com, and they are on at 7 Eastern, taking your phone calls and talking about the weekend wrestling. Saturday morning wrestling with Jim Valley is the new addition to the PW Torch Livecast lineup. Jim Valley was my co-host last week on this program. He was at Cauliflower Alley Banquet, and he interviewed Lance Russell, among others. That Lance Russell interview, legendary Memphis wrestling announcer, one of my favorite TV personalities in any genre, period, that I've had the experience of watching. He and Jerry Lawler had great chemistry. Lance Russell is somebody that every wrestling announcer, especially interviewers, should study up on and watch. In a way, he's a throwback, but in a way, what he brought to that Memphis wrestling show was timeless. And he helped promote the heels and the babyfaces, made you like the babyfaces more, and underlined and accentuated the reasons why you should be booing the heels, and did so in a way that that was entertaining and didn't get in the way of the wrestler's personality. So, Lance, with Jim Valley last Saturday, check that out on demand at pwtorchlivecast.com. My co-host today is Johnny Fairplay. Next Tuesday, Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net returns to his familiar co-hosting chair, and we'll talk about the final hype for Payback on next week's program. Johnny, how does taking phone calls sound?
Sounds great.
So all right,
also,
very good.
I want to throw in real quick.
Yeah.
I was at the NXT house show in Charlotte two Thursdays ago. So if you want to discuss that at some point.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I was there.
Absolutely. I thought it was leading somewhere.
I met Shinsuke Nakamura. I think that's kind of a big deal.
That is. Well, you know what? That's a good teaser. We'll talk about that later on in the program.
Okay.
I want to get to calls so we don't leave people on hold for too long. Not that that's our normal policy or concern, but it is today. Let's go to 305 first. 305, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, guys. DJ from Miami.
Hey, DJ. Good to hear from you. What have you got for Johnny and me?
I got two quick questions. My first question, do you want me to do them one by one or...
Well, ask us the first one, and then I'll tell you. Depends.
All right. My first one is with Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt. Now that Wyatt's hurt, do you guys think if he's really hurt, do you think that the Bullet Club will get bigger and they'll pull the Wyatt in because Eric Rowan's hurt too, so that's two down. What would they do with the other two? They're not, I don't think they'll put him as a good tag team. That's my first thing.
Johnny, what do you think on that? Where is the Wyatt family headed given Bray Wyatt's injury and actually two out of four down right now?
Well, if Wyatt can go, the Wyatts will stay together. They'll be a babyface foil to the Bullet Club. And there's no way the Bullet Club is taking Braun Strowman. That, yuck. So, no, that's not happening.
Yeah. My feeling is they'll just wait. That they will just either be off TV or just work in house show, just work house show tag matches and be on Superstars, and they'll just wait it out and play that card when they get there. I don't think Braun Strowman at this moment is enough of a priority to be all that big of a concern for WWE. Luke Harper is good and talented, but I don't think that just because Bray's injured, they're going to just split him off somewhere else permanently. What else, DJ?
My second thing is with Brock. Where do you see him at SummerSlam? Do you think that the Bullet Club will go after him right after SummerSlam with Balor? Or do you guys think that AJ will come in and get the title and it'll be him and Brock and finally somebody will be happy? That's it. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks, DJ. Johnny, what do you think? I'm not super excited about any Brock Lesnar match right now. They need to do some work to get me excited about it. What do you think of DJ's ideas?
I was front row at NXT 2 weeks ago. I saw Finn Balor for the first time. I think he's an amazing talent, and he was much shorter than I thought he would be.
Yeah.
So I do not see Finn Balor in the ring with Brock Lesnar possibly ever. So.
I think Brock is twice as big as Finn Balor. He's not only half the weight and half the height, but half the circumference, half the diameter. I'm not one to say that, Big Show and Ray had a semi-credible, big man, small man matchup. I'm not saying it's impossible to tell that story, but it's tough. I love Finn Balor, and I think that they can make a lot of money with him, but I think avoiding a Brock Lesnar match is one of the ways to make money with Finn Balor. But if like I said, I think there's a way to do it. I just don't know that I trust WWE to do it. And I just don't know that Brock, the way he wrestles now, I'm just down on Brock right now. Suplex City is the worst thing to happen to Brock in terms of my enjoyment of his matches, because it's just German suplex, Suplex City chant. It's just Brock is a really good, well-rounded worker. And the idea that he's just dumbed his style down to just doing suplexes and as a kind of pseudo or sort of a baby face, but not really standing up for anything, and having Paul Heyman, who's this kind of sleazy, slimy, unlikable character, giving generic blah, Brock is a beast, he's the main event promos. There's just not really anything about the Brock Lesnar Paul Heyman act that I'm particularly intrigued by. And from a matchup standpoint, I suspect we'll see Roman against Brock again at some point. I don't know what their roles will be. But other than that, yeah, just the size difference with the guys who are getting pushed, and I'm just not. I mean, I hate to say it, I don't think Brock is this huge asset to WWE right now, Johnny.
Yeah, well, I mean, I thought we firmly established that Brock is a babyface. So, you know, why did he go against Dean Ambrose at WrestleMania for no reason? And, you know, and like, I think, I mean, there's no one heel-wise. I mean, like, possibly Kevin Owens, Baron Corbin. My dream match is Nakamura. So, but as far as, you know, League of Nations or any other baby or any other heel on the roster, I have no desire to see Brock against any of them.
Yep. I'm just disappointed with what they've done with him. So, yeah, I, as far as predicting SummerSlam, I need to see Payback first. I think it's – I mean, I just don't know, Johnny, with what we've seen on Raw and SmackDown since WrestleMania, that we're really in a position to credibly predict exactly what's going to happen at SummerSlam. And then you throw in injuries and you throw in the timeline of an Orton and a Cena and a Seth and how they're dropped back into the mix. I just think it's up in the air, and I like it that way. I mean, I don't want on April 19th to know what's going to be happening in August for SummerSlam. So that's a long ways off. Sometimes it's predictable. This year, it's not, and I like it that way.
Yeah, I'm excited about Payback. I mean, like if, on pay, I mean, you know, the announcement of the two matches, or you know, the two guys matches last night, I think fell a little flat. But I mean, on paper, Payback looks like one of the best cards they put together this year.
I agree. All right, we got a lot of people on hold. Let's go to our next phone call. Let's go to 405 next. 405, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Yeah, this is Travis from Oklahoma City.
Hey, Travis, thanks for calling. What have you got for us?
Yeah, I was just wanting to call about Sami Zayn. He's probably one of my favorite wrestlers right now on the roster. Really enjoyed watching him on NXT. And,
good choice.
Just kind of nervous where they're going with him. I'm hoping these losses that they've given him are setting him up kind of as the underdog role. And I hope that's where they're going. I hope they don't just kind of bury him like they have with other talents.
Well, Johnny, as an NXT aficionado.
I just want to get your comment on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Johnny, as an NXT aficionado, are you worried that the Sami Zayn underdog role is going to be mishandled by the WWE main roster? And what do you think of what you've seen so far with him?
I'd be worried if he had won more matches. I think it's perfect.
Yeah.
I don't know if you paid attention. The beginning of Raw last night, the opening sequence that shows, you know, who, you know, what the roster consists of now. I mean, they, I don't know if they redid it last night or last Monday. I mean, but it.
I don't think they aired it last
prevalently
Monday.
Okay. Well, then last night was probably the first. It was AJ Styles, Baron Corbin, Apollo Crews, briefly Dolph Ziggler, Rome. I mean, like, it is all the new people. You didn't see it. I don't even know if League of Nations made the cut. I mean, it's like, here is the new people. And Sami Zayn was one of those people. So I think that you know, if he was winning more matches, I'd be worried. So I don't think the bottle, you know, it's just like they did half of it. I think they know what they're doing. So he's the underdog that everybody loves. I mean, and right now he's sitting there for match of the year from a takeover.
Explain what you mean by if he was winning more, you'd be worried. I'm with you. I just want you to kind of clarify that for people who don't understand that, especially those who aren't watching the NXT history with him.
Well, you go back even you know, Ring of Honor is El Generico. I mean, like the Sammy's gimmick is, you know,
that's just a rumor, Johnny.
The underdog,
Johnny. That's just a rumor.
I know. Oh, do you think Steve Austin knows at this point that that El Generico and Sami Zayn are possibly the same person?
I think it's willful denial.
Go ahead.
Willful denial.
Well, no, I mean, like when Kevin Steen was on Austin's podcast. You know, Steve was like, whatever happened to that El Generico guy? And he was like, oh, well, he retired, and he opened up an orphanage in Mexico, and he was like, well, damn, that guy had something, you know. And Steen's like, well, there's this guy Sami Zayn in NXT. If you like Generico, you might like him. And he's like, I don't know who the hell that is. It's like, well, you might want to check it. If you like Generico, you really might. And he's like, I ain't got time for that crap. It's like, oh no, Steve.
I'm going with Steve was in on it. That's my stance, and I don't want to hear any conflicting info.
I really don't think so. you could hear the pain in Steen's voice. It's just like, oh wow. Oh,
I do enjoy how Steen played that. So, but anyway, yeah. So
it was great.
So Sammy's got this underdog character, and you should. The idea is that fans get behind Sammy because he has this great fighting spirit. He just comes up a little bit short. And thus, when he does win, it's this exhilaration of finally, he's so good, he deserved it, he got screwed here, he got unlucky there. And you want to tell that story on the main roster. That's the story that you tell with Sami Zayn.
Yeah, and Bayley's essentially the same character. I mean, yeah. Like, you know, everyone was begging for Bayley to come to the main roster after WrestleMania, and I was just like, please, dear God, no. I'm like, you know, Sami Zayn's back. It appears as though they're telling the underdog story that they're supposed to be telling with him. You can't tell the same story with another character at the same time. It just dilutes both of them. So I was stoked that Bayley didn't come up the night after Mania. So and I have a I'm a Hugger T-shirt. My fiance has an I'm a Hugger T-shirt. You know, I did Russo's podcast 2 weeks ago, and I told him, I'm like, you know, WWE's looking for the next John Cena. John Cena is on the roster right now, and her name is Bayley.
Yeah, yep. No, I agree. And I think that the timing of how that they are that they're spreading out the acquisitions or the bringing up talent from NXT, it's working for me for the most part. I don't think that they've stripped NXT entirely. I think that it's in solid shape, but I like the talent that they brought up. I mean, Baron Corbin, Johnny, is Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews are the ones getting the most kind of, you know, head tilts. Is it too soon? Did Apollo Crews do everything that he could have in NXT to earn the respect of those fans who have helped respond the way that they have to AJ Styles and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens when they first came in? And Baron Corbin, it's mostly a matter of him being more, you know, green in the ring, and will he be exposed when he's put in a position to do longer matches? I guess it depends on who he's against and how the matches are produced. But your opinion on the timing in particular of Apollo Crews and Baron Corbin being brought up when they were?
I still think it's a rib by Triple H. I think Vince asked for, you know, who he should bring up from NXT, and he's like, you know, I got this guy, Big Cass. Oh, perfect. He goes, huh? Well, I got this other guy, Baron Corbin. Oh, yes. It's, you know, it's like, they got a black guy with a lot of muscles. Oh, wow. I just hit the lottery. Thanks, Trip. This is perfect. You know, and meanwhile, Triple H is going, oh, thank God, Nakamura and Finn Balor and all
Smojo.
These guys are still
yeah.
here.
So yeah.
This is great. So, I mean, Baron Corbin, I saw him at the house show. The guy, I mean, If it's a gimmick, he's got the gimmick down. He is an a-hole. I mean, he refused to take off his shirt because it was a house show. Like, how great is that? You know, they're chanting, you know, take your shirt off, and he's like, no. And this guy like offers him a quarter, and he's like, that's what I pay your mom at night. And this other guy was just like, please come, please have your shirt, blah blah. And he goes, it'll cost me $30. You're not worth $30.
He's totally believable. I talked about it on the Weight Killer Hotline last night after Raw for VIP members. I love how believable he is in his character. Give me someone to believe in. And, you know, the fact that he might really be that isn't relevant to me as much as that he's totally believable in that role, that it makes me think he might be. You know, I mean, I think there's money in that. Get people to believe that the character you see on TV is who they really are. It becomes a more fun experience to then react a certain way to them at the events. Johnny, hold tight for a second. I got to mention another sponsor of the program, and that is Loot Crate. Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box service for epic geek and gamer items in pop culture gear. For less than $20 a month, you get over $40 in retail value for licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, and unique one-of-a-kind items. Make sure you head over to lootcrate.com. That's lootcrate.com, and enter coupon code PWTORCH to save $3 off your initial subscription. That's lootcrate.com and enter PW Torch. Now, tonight, if you're listening to us on Tuesday, April 19th, tonight is a deadline for this month's crate. And when the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. Midnight Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific. It's your last chance to get in on this month's theme. And this month's theme is spring. Spring is springing, so grab a map, your bag of holding, and some friends. April's theme is quest. We're forming a party to explore everywhere from far-off kingdoms to worlds hidden within worlds with exclusive items from Labyrinth, Harry Potter, History Channel's Vikings, and Uncharted 4. And of course, we've got our t-shirt and loot pin to help equip you for your adventures. That's our message from Loot Crate regarding their April theme. So go check it out. Loot Crate, it's like a friend who knows what you love and surprises you with an awesome present every month. They ship to 27 countries. Check out their list. You're probably on it. Loot Crate is more than a subscription service. It's an entire community of fans who share their experience and interact with each other around the unboxing of each month's crate. Previous crates have included themes from franchises such as Star Wars, Marvel, The Walking Dead, The Legend of Zelda, and many more. Themes are inspired by major movie and video game releases, as well as pulling from pop culture franchises that we all know and love. Check them out, lootcrate.com, coupon code PWTORCH to save $3 on your first crate. All right, we are back live on PW Torch Livecast. It is about 30 minutes into the program here on Tuesday, April 19th, 2016. Johnny Fairplay, Survivor, Hall of Famer, and a reality TV star, former TNA manager, big pro wrestling fan, and one-time personal assistant to Roddy Piper, a subject of a Torch Talk, and a guest on many of our Torch podcasts over the years, is today's special co-host, Jason Powell. We'll be back next week. Let's go right back to the phone lines. We've got people on hold wanting to contribute to the program. And we'll go to area code 718 next. 718, thanks for holding. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Wade. Hey, Johnny. How you doing? This is Mike from Brooklyn.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for calling. What have you got? What have you got for us? And can you turn? We're getting a lot of feedback, so try to turn down your speakers, please.
Is this better?
I'll know when I talk. Yes, it is. I'm not hearing my voice on a one-second delay. So thanks for doing that. What have you got for us, Mike?
Okay, just to like piggyback off of what I was pretty much talking about earlier as the first, you know, topic. As far as like the whole AJ and Bullet Club and Roman thing, do you think, you know, quite possibly down the line that there, I mean, you know, at Payback, we might find out that AJ walks behind it and they bring up Finn back and, you know, try to use them guys as like the top heels of the company now and, you know, in some way try to put the Shield back together to help, like, try to get Roman, you know, to get him over because he got massively booed last night.
Johnny, we haven't covered it much yet in terms of the crowd reaction for Roman Reigns, but it is transcontinental. The negativity towards Roman Reigns, there are people in denial, people who say, oh, it's such a small slice of the audience, it doesn't matter, and they're paying their money anyway. How concerned are you with Roman's reaction? And then on top of that, how concerned would you be with WWE actually trying to overtly turn AJ Styles heel and put him against Roman, as if that would change the crowd reaction to Roman? Oh, I got to put you back on. Hold up. I had you muted. Go ahead, Johnny.
Sure. I don't think they're trying to turn AJ heel. I think it's one of those things that they knew the crowd was going to boo Roman, so they're doing the preemptive strike. It's like okay, so he's going in. The number one contender is AJ, who's the babyface, and people like AJ, so they're cheering him. So the boos that you hear for Roman, they're not boos because he's a bad guy, and it's not because he's the guy. It's boos because his first opponent just happened to be a babyface. Don't worry, folks. When he goes against a heel, everyone will love him. Just wait. Just relax. I think it's just it's a psychological thing they're attempting that is not working. That will not work whatsoever. So, but as far as AJ being in cahoots with the rest of the Balor Club, that could have been on the table. As I said, I think they're just pushing it too much in your face that they are together, which means they're not. But I think it could have been on the table if the plan was the three remaining Wyatts, including Bray Wyatt, join up with Roman Reigns to feud with the four Bullet Club members. But, you know, I don't even know if we have, you know, three Wyatts, much less, you know, to or what. So I don't know. As I said, I think everything's on hold until they get absolute 100% confirmation on Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of moving parts. And, I mean, turning AJ heel and having Finn Balor be with him in the Balor Club or the Bulletproof Club or whatever as a heel, they're so small for WWE standards. And I don't want to keep going back to it, but I just don't think it works to have your really good, respected, athletic, undersized guys cast as heels against the bigger, more muscular, Vince McMahon-chosen corporate machines. I think that's backwards. And I'm not saying that AJ couldn't be a good heel, but I think you would need to have some baby faces really firmly established. I like the idea of AJ as a heel against a babyface Sami Zayn, a babyface Kevin Owens down the line, a babyface Finn Balor, a babyface Apollo Crews. I mean, those work for me. And I don't even mind a heel AJ against John Cena, even with the size difference. But I just don't know that that's going to be the best course. Now, you could say there's a little bit of a redundancy or an overlap with Sami Zayn and AJ both getting pushed at the same time, and then Finn Balor gets added to the mix as if he were a babyface. You'd have three kind of Daniel Bryan replacements in a way who are all undersized, and so in that sense, maybe they would need one or two of them to be a heel if they're going to kind of feud amongst themselves. So I just think we have to wait for that to play out. But I mean, with Bray Wyatt going babyface, and Bray's a big guy, just because he stands next to giants, it doesn't change the fact that Bray is absolutely significantly taller than Sami Zayn and way bigger than AJ and Finn. So you got another guy, if they go babyface with Bray, that would tower over the heels. And I just don't know that you want that as predominant as I think it would be if everybody that we're talking about here turned heel.
Yeah. And also real quick, I didn't get to finish on Apollo Crews. I honestly don't see – I see Bobby Lashley 2.0. I really don't see it there. I hope I'm wrong. He seems like a really nice guy. Like, you know, the NXT videos were really good in establishing his story. But once – I mean, like, he's expressionless with a smile once he goes through that curtain. And I don't see money in that.
Yeah, I'm on the side of I think there's big money in him. I'm not denying that there's some areas where he could show more range, but I think he's so much better in the ring than Bobby as a babyface act. I just think there's a lot more there. But I mean, you and Todd Martin are more skeptical of his upside than I am, and I mean, we got to see more. But I think there is an upside there worth investing in. And like I said with Todd Martin on The Fix last week, I think why I'm kind of high on Apollo Crews is more of a I'm a progressive who gets things done in this sense. To use the Hillary Clinton line, I think that Apollo has that overlap between what the Bellwether fans who respect guys who go to the indie scene, pay their dues, can have good matches, they're good athletes, they come to the main roster, they're rooting for them. And there's an overlap between that and Vince McMahon looking at him going, ooh, a black guy with muscles. He's got some good height. He's got a good smile. I can imagine him on the Today Show sitting next to Charlotte after a WrestleMania or doing PR work, and I would be proud of him being the face of the company. So that overlap is what intrigues me about him. I think that he's better than most of the, quote, black muscular guys that Vince every 4 years finds and pushes, and their deficiencies from Ahmed Johnson through Bobby Lashley and others just ends up surfacing and not leading to them becoming the big breakout stars he hopes they are. So there's that overlap there, and that's what I'm kind of leaning on and thinking might lead to Apollo Crews getting more chances than most. Then I'm a little higher on his persona than both you and Todd have expressed too.
Conversely, I saw Big Cass and Enzo. One of the first takeover specials, and you know, and I got the Enzo shtick, you know, like you know, New Age Outlaws 2.0 and all, and I liked it.
Yeah.
And you know, and I like how you know each time you know they add the extra stuff to make it unique. I was just like, okay, that's you know, it's just not the same verbiage every time like the New Age Outlaws, but like Big Cass was one of those like you know like I kind of see Apollo now. Almost a deer in headlights when he was out there, like, you know, halfway. It was like seeing a young test, Andrew Martin. You know, it's just like, ooh.
It reminds me of the 11-year-old kid who's thrown onto stage for the first time to sing, by his, you know, because his parents thinks he can sing, and he's thrown in front of a stage, and there's suddenly this massive audience staring at him, and he, yeah, that deer in the headlights look that Cass has. I think he's gotten better about that, but it was definitely
there.
Well,
no, that's what I was about to say.
Yeah.
From a year and a half ago to where he is right now, night and day. I think, I think it's been, you know, over a year of getting used to it was part of it, but I would not be surprised if the Dudleys, you know, if the Dudleys want to be your friend, I could see them really boosting his ego in the back, and that, you know, that could be what's shining through now. So, but there's also the possibility of Bubba doing the exact opposite.
Yes.
But we're not seeing that, so I don't think that's happening.
Absolutely. No, good analysis. Good analysis. All right, 646-721-9828 is the number. Tomorrow, Pat McNeil. Thursday, I'll be back with Interview Thursday. And then Friday, Bruce Mitchell and Travis Bryant. And Saturday, it'll be Jim Valley with the nostalgia-themed edition of the PW Torch Livecast at 11:30 Eastern, 8:30 Pacific Time. Let's go to our next call and go to area code 801-801. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Derek from Utah.
Hey, Derek from Utah. What have you got for us today?
This is just in regards to the possibility of AJ turning heel and aligning with Gallows and Anderson. I've been a casual viewer of TNA for, I don't know, as long as it's been around. And it seems like every time they tried to make AJ a heel, it was something that he wasn't good at because he was unable to alter his style to wrestle a style that doesn't garner positive reactions from the majority of the crowd. So in your guys' experience watching TNA, did you see any potential of AJ Styles as a heel during that tenure?
Good question, Derek. Johnny, how about you?
None. The only time AJ was an effective heel was in New Japan, and that's because he was a wide eye on foreign turf. So no, every attempt they did in TNA, it's not the role for him. But it did work in New Japan because it's a different set of parameters.
I think it can work a little bit better than it did in TNA with AJ because he's older. And there's a new natural storyline, which is he used to be the indie high-flying darling, and now there's these new guys. And, I mean, you can play that up, you know, against whoever – you can do that storyline against whoever you want. He can also play up the idea that he's bitter about that he's kind of bitter about where his career trajectory is compared to where some people thought it should be. I mean, I think when you put somebody in a new situation, there are new storyline possibilities. I agree with you, Derek, that, and this is why I'm hesitant to endorse AJ going heel, even somewhat, in that I think his in-ring style it's tough to imagine him just, you know, raking people's eyes and kicking them in the nuts and having his guys at ringside cheat for him. But, I mean, it's not impossible to do. I mean, if it's AJ against Sami Zayn, AJ as a heel, I mean, I guess that could work. And I, as much as we're critical of certain aspects of WWE, I mean, I think they would do things better as far as that goes than TNA did. And I think AJ probably, as you said, Johnny, from his New Japan experience, might be able to be better this time around than he was in TNA at adjusting in a way that would get people to boo him. But fans aren't going to boo him unless he's facing somebody who the fans have. It's the Jericho AJ storyline, but with AJ in the Jericho role, and I just don't think we're ready for that yet. I think that would be a year or two away. Yeah. Derek, anything else? Go ahead, Johnny. Go ahead first.
Yeah, can I? It's also bothering me, like, AJ showed up at the Rumble white hot.
Yeah.
And you know, Bruce Mitchell and I we discussed the Mania match between, you know, AJ and Jericho and you know, Bruce was like, I'm okay with the Jericho win if it leads to, you know, like one more match or something. And apparently it didn't. And he was just like, okay, that made no sense. And I was okay with it only in the fact that, you know, if Jericho comes back to lose at Mania every year, then there's no strength in that. It's just like, you know, oh, you beat the guy that comes back to lose every year. So Jericho needed a win. Did that win need to take place, you know, this year against AJ Styles? Looking at everything the way we see it now, no. But, you know, that's what happened. But, I mean, if you look at the crowd last night, you know, it was a mediocre AJ chant. You know, even when Jericho and AJ were feuding, you know, just trading those wins and losses, you know, it dropped from white hot to, you know, Jericho even inciting the AJ chant wasn't getting that huge AJ chant. Yeah. And you know, and I think, you know, Vince is going to hear that and be like, hey, I brought the guy in. You know, they half-assed chant his name, like, you know, you're wrong. I'm right. Okay, next. You know, so I'm worried. I'm really worried for AJ.
Well, I don't think AJ's done himself favors with his mic work. You know, you talk about Cass being a deer in the headlights. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't go that far with AJ, but there's an awkwardness to his delivery, and we saw it last night. I thought he had some okay material to work with, but he didn't come across as somebody who owned the ring. He looked like somebody who felt like he should own the ring because he's owned it before, but he's intimidated or a little thrown off or a little nervous about not performing. Heck, I feel the same way about Shane McMahon. I think Shane stumbles over his lines pretty regularly. I think Shane performs like he's worried about what his dad is going to say afterwards about his performance. So, yeah, I mean, AJ, Shane, I mean, they haven't hit home runs on the microphone so far, and I think Shane has a longer leash than AJ in that regard. But yeah, AJ has not, I think, silenced the concerns that Vince might have had before he arrived, and the crowd response just isn't there to make up for it, John. Johnny, I think you're right.
Yeah, and if I'm Roman Reigns, I sandbag my promos with AJ as well. So like whatever line you're supposed to feed back, I purposely wouldn't feed back because you know he's not good at, you know, freestyling out there. So I would throw him under the bus, and I think it'd be really easy to do. So, but that's what I would do if I were Roman Reigns.
Derek, how about you? What's your follow-up?
Yeah, even Johnny's comment about AJ in New Japan, I think it was when he was wrestling Okada for the belt, even the Japanese fans cheering for the Japanese hero still sputtered AJ chants. And I think that shows some of his deficiencies as a versatile wrestler. Is I don't think he is able to caper his style to wrestle heel. And I think that even sometimes is a problem for Kevin Owens. I mean, I heard a Fight Owens Fight chant last night after he hit a frog splash off the apron, and that's a heat vacuum for a babyface who's trying to get over. And I think if you look on the contrary, Seth Rollins tapered his style significantly to ensure that he didn't get babyface pops unless he wanted to showcase what he was capable of, i.e. SummerSlam last year.
And he's going against John Cena.
Exactly, but he did that purposefully to show this is what I can do, but he only pulled it out like once every 2 to 3 months. I think that's really hard for guys who get over hitting high spots and crazy moves to just cognitively say, I'm not going to do those because I know that fans ooh and ah and cheer for that.
Yeah. It's like Jeff Hardy joined the Swanton as a heel.
Yes.
Like, don't do the Swanton.
Great.
I mean, that, you know, guess what your finishing move isn't, Jeff Hardy? It's not the Swanton. Like, you know, and you can tease it, and, you know, and just, and you're like, okay, I'm not going to do this, you know, and then you finish with the twist of fate. Stop Jeff.
It'd be like the Dudley's trying to get over his heels and Bubba doing, Devon, get the tables. I mean, it's like if you go into the thing that the fans have a history and a pattern of cheering, it's not a good way to establish that heel persona, getting that heel reaction you want. Derek, good call, good analysis. We appreciate your contribution.
You're welcome.
Excellent. All right, call again. Great call support here as we shifted time slots in our post-WrestleMania season here at PW Torch Livecast. So thanks to everybody for that. If you're not a VIP member, go check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That is where I do the majority of my audio. I do 2 shows here a week on the free livecast, but I do in every single day Wade Keller Hotline for over 6 years. Haven't missed a day covering the news, answering VIP member questions that they send in by email and giving long form answers. Sometimes dedicate a whole hotline to one question if it's a compelling question. Otherwise, I hit them rapid fire sometimes. We do 2 or 3 of those a week. We do 2 or 3 news updates, and I also do in-depth reports on Raw. And on occasion, like right before NXT TakeOver, I'll do a show dedicated to previewing NXT TakeOver shows by talking about what was on the recent NXT TV shows. That's just one thing, one perk that comes with being a VIP member. Ad-free versions of this show, this plug, removed from the live cast, along with all the ads and other plugs, and that is true across the whole schedule of live casts. And also, VIP exclusive shows. I'm part of the roughly 2 hours of The Fix with Todd Martin every Wednesday, and the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, the longest-running centerpiece show on weekends of the VIP audio slate, and that is the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show that I host with Bruce. We go around 2 hours also on weekends, plus many other shows, retro audio shows from the Attitude Era and the late 80s through early 90s run of the Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio show. Hundreds and hundreds of those shows ready to or on deck to be posted over the next few years on a regular basis. And the full slate of my Pro Wrestling Focus radio show from the early 90s available as soon as you sign up. About 100 episodes of that early 90s weekly radio show from KFAN that I hosted. Plus much more. Add free access to our website. Add free access to our VIP website, which is mobile friendly. So you can get access to all the news and VIP features on your smartphone. And our audio shows between 70 and 100 per month are all available on an RSS feed, compatible with iTunes and popular podcast apps on iPhone and Android. We've got step-by-step tutorials to walk you through which apps we recommend and how to sign up. So a lot of great things, plus 28 years of archives of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter. Every major story since the late 80s covered in-depth, every major pay-per-view has my match report and star ratings on each of the matches. So when you're watching WWE Network and you want to get some context to what you're watching in here, not just what I thought with the match review and star ratings, but also roundtable reviews from familiar names, Bruce Mitchell, Mark Madden, Pat McNeil, and many others, check it out. Go VIP. There's something there for everybody to enhance your enjoyment of wrestling and your historical knowledge. That's pwtorch.com/goVIP to find out more details and sign up. And signing up is mobile friendly. It takes about 90 seconds. We'd love to have you as a member, and we'd love for you to see what it is that we spend most of our week dedicated to creating a comprehensive audio and ad-free web experience for our VIP members. All right, with that plug out of the way, let's go back to phone calls. Johnny Fairplay, my guest co-host on today's Tuesday live cast. We're talking Raw. Let's go next to area code 916. 916, thanks for holding. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Ron from Modesto, California.
Hey, Ron, thanks for calling. What have you got for us?
I just got a couple things. Roman and AJ. I don't hate Roman the way a lot of people do. I still don't like him very much. But that back after he was jumped, went through like 3 months. Like at that moment that AJ came up, it just seems like instead of talking, he would have just like Superman punched AJ right there. I was just wondering what your guys' thoughts on that was. I think less talking for Roman is better. And why would he accept that from AJ after he's been jumped over, since he's been getting jumped the last 3 or 4 months? And I got one other thing.
Sure, Ron, thanks. Johnny, I thought there was that line that Roman used last night. Again, I talked about this on the Wade Keller Hotline last night, where he said, you know, something like, I don't believe your story, so you best come up with a new one. I don't know. It just sounded really kind of preachy and d-baggy. It was one of those lines from Roman where it's like he talks to everybody like they're like he's a little league coach, and there's this 11-year-old kid who's not showing him respect. And that's how he talked to AJ.
Okay. It was D-baggy and it's like the prick in high school that hears a movie line that has to say it in response to every the saying like the David Spade Tommy Boy lines, you know, like 5 years later it's like, oh, go kill yourself, you know. that's where if he had finished with "By Felicia," it would have just put the whole thing together, I think.
And by the way, the line for those who didn't the line for those who didn't see it, I just looked it up in my report. He said, "You better start telling the truth or start selling a new story." And the delivery, it was just, again, it's when they're trying to figure out why do people not like him. There's a number of things that all add up. I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, it being the guy who CM Punk said, yeah, in my last few months with the company, all I heard is make Roman look good. That got Roman off to a bad start. He had to overcome that. And there's a whole list of things he's said and done that are boneheaded, but there's this personality issue that I don't know that he can change, that I think is best suited for being a heel. You summarized it well. My example is, you know, a little league coach who's being a jerk to an 11-year-old and talking down to him. He just can't help himself in that regard. He seems very unself-aware of how that comes across. And again, it's great if he turns heel. I don't dislike Roman Reigns, but I think he's terrible at being a likable babyface for a big segment of the fan base, but I think they can make tremendous money with him as a heel. I think he'd be tremendous, and I think in the ring he's improved. I'm not sure if it's 1,000%, but he's improved. So, and yeah, we'll see against AJ.
He would be an amazing babyface. It's like he needs to be a heel. He needs, yeah, you know, everyone get the hate out. They hate him. And then, you know, when it comes time for that moment that he makes a great moral decision on behalf of the good guys, he does. And you're just like, even though this guy is a D-bag, he's our D-bag. And then they embrace him, and then he becomes a baby. But there is no way that the formulas that they are going about will ever work. It just would. With that guy, it won't.
Yep, yep. All right, Tal, let's go back to Ron for some follow-up. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, I agree. I think all of the great baby faces started off as really good heels. I agree with you guys' assessment on that. The other thing is I want to talk a little bit about Chris Jericho. I'm actually happy that he's getting some of these wins. I love Sami Zayn, and I don't think that it affected Sami at all that he lost to Jericho, but I know a lot of people get upset about that. I think a lot of the greats like The Rock and Austin and even Triple H, they lost a lot of the old guard at their time, and, you know, they still came out on top. And the other thing with Jericho is, like, I think it's pointless for him to come out and job to mid-carders when he's here. This time it seems like he's going to be here a little bit longer. I feel like he should be jobbing at the main event level, like, for it to actually mean something. Like, so these wins against AJ didn't put me off of AJ, didn't put me off of Sami Zayn. I just think it actually built Jericho, so when someone finally does beat him, it's going to mean that much more than it did to Dolph Ziggler and Fandango and Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
So I even feel like I think Jericho does have one more good championship run as a mean heel. I think he's doing a good job as a heel, and a lot of people can learn from how he's a heel.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be opposed to seeing him like being like, I'm the last of the old guard, you know, like I'm not gonna let these young punks come in here and just run like you're gonna, and he can cheat his way through all these victories, and then finally he has to pass the torch to these new guys, all the talent that they have about the birds. And that's it. Thanks, guys.
Great Ron, I'm glad you called. Great comments. Johnny, I agree. I mean, I think Jericho's been an MVP of the show lately. With so many veterans out injured, having Jericho around to be a bridge between the you know, the previous era and generation and roster and the new guys coming in, I think he's helped elevate guys. I mean, we can talk in specifics about individual moments and whether it was the right finish or the right call, but in general, having him on the show as part of this new era with that new opening that you noticed, Johnny, with all the new wrestlers on it and Shane McMahon doing his thing, Jericho, I think, is helping stabilize the show and the roster and help introduce and solidify and sort of verify as stars for the larger mainstream audience that these guys can hold their own against a legacy guy like Jericho.
So, and also you know we've been going through this crowd hijacking. You know, you have Mania Weekend, you have the one off in Canada, and then you had the night after Mania and all that stuff. And Jericho, you know, stayed true to his character. He's just like, you know, shut up, don't cheer for me. I'm a heel. I'm working heel. You know, and he did it again last night. And I honestly thought that was the best pick. I mean, once again, I don't think it would work, but that would have been my pick coming out of Mania for Roman Reigns' first pay-per-view opponent post-Mania, like at Payback. So because, you know, it's your choices are Jericho, who will tell you flat out, do not cheer for me, I do not like you, I'm a bad guy, you're stupid.
Yep.
And then the guy is like, please cheer for me, no one else is.
Yes.
You guys will be the first. You'll win the contest. You cheer for me. So that would have been my pick. As I said, I still don't think it would have worked, but I think it would have worked better than any other option available. And Jericho has been putting in MVP work. I mean, like, probably the best work he's done in 5 years.
Oh, yeah, and I don't think it's that far off from his best work. I mean, I think he is so smart in how he's going about what he's doing. He's believable. He's consistent. In the ring, I think he's gotten better over time. I think that he was shaky when he first got back, and I think he's worked off that ring rust. And the fact that he's willing to go out there and work at this pace against younger guys who are still in their prime is a testament to the pride that he takes in his craft and how hard he wants to work. He's earned my respect. He didn't show up just to collect a paycheck. He's taken pride in being the veteran glue of this roster, and he's known for being a really meticulous, smart contributor to his own booking, his own storylines, and the psychology of his matches. You know, that's something that interests him a lot, and he's smart with it. So. I think he's putting his stamp on this next generation of talent in a way that maybe would not have happened if WWE didn't need him because they had so many other veterans who were out injured. All right, up next.
This is the same guy that 4 months ago was saying Rudy Tootie Booty, by the way. Let's keep that in mind.
Well, yeah, there were some – he hit the curb on the road a couple times and had to correct course, you know. He ran over
– Well, no, I think that was all a set. I think he went in, you know, it's just like, hey, I'm going to give him super nice Jericho so that this whole AJ thing goes down. You know, I mean – I could be wrong, you know, but I really think he was laying the foundation for, hey, this is cheesy Jericho. He couldn't turn evil on you.
Maybe so. There's part of me that thinks he just wasn't prepared for that moment too. But either way, he's on a good course now. Okay, let's go to 478. 478, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Darrell from Georgia.
Hey, Darrell, what have you got for Johnny and me?
Okay, just a question. My first question would be this. I was thinking by looking at how you were speaking earlier about how the stories feel not together and separate. It seemed like to me, and just to me, that this looks like it could be like a transition period where they might be transitioning out writers or transitioning. Because if Raw, the past few weeks, some of it seemed like more of a Triple H type of storyline that he'd been given to NXT, especially back when he first started NXT and stuff like that. So I wanted to know, what did y'all think about that? Do y'all think it's some type of transitioning? And because if you look at how Shane come out, and I know you speak on his energy, and his energy make him Shane McMahon, and he hasn't had that energy because he's playing more of a Triple H role. And he could be getting that told to him by Triple H, and that could be the reason why. So I wanted to ask you, what do you think about that?
Go ahead, Johnny.
I mean, didn't they say every 15 minutes last night that it's a transition and it's a new era? So, yeah, that's what they told us.
Where do you think they're headed with that? With the Shane dynamic and the authority being gone and overtly talking about it being a new era. Is it just a new era, or is it going to be an angle or a storyline?
I think it's just a new era. I mean, as I said, the openings changed. They're kind of lazy, Wade. If you think, just go back and look. I mean, they're not that good. I mean, Bruce like loves it. Bruce hates wrestling. For anyone that's not a VIP member, become a VIP member. Bruce Mitchell is some of the best audio you'll hear, and he hates everything about wrestling. And he told us going into Mania, he's just like, you guys are wrong. Nothing good's going to happen. They're horrible right now. They're not going to be any better at Mania. You're wrong. And then Mania, and you're like, oh, no, Bruce is just an old curmudgeon. And then Mania happens, and everything that sucks. And it's just like, but that's okay. Well, the next night, that's because that's when they shake up everything. And then Bruce goes, these are the same people that have sucked for 6 months. They didn't take a magic pill to become magically better writers. They still suck. This is good. And then the night after Mania is like, oh, wow, this still kind of sucks. So, yeah, they don't try to. The fact that they've done as much as they've done right now, it's not a swerve to go a different direction. It's just like, this is where we're at. So, you know, is there going to be any explanation other than social media demanded Shane hang around? I don't know. Like, I think we're probably building towards Shane versus Triple H at SummerSlam. And hopefully that means, you know, Shane. Well, hopefully it means Shane loses and then shows up the next night and keeps hosting Raw, just like Mania. So that's what I want.
All right, 320, please state your name and where you're calling from.
I'm Carl from St. Cloud.
Hey, Carl, thanks for calling. What have you got for Johnny and me?
This kind of plays off, actually, what Johnny just said. A lot of people think Triple H versus Shane McMahon for SummerSlam. I was thinking Kevin Owens and Shane have a very natural, good natural chemistry. I was wondering if you think the same thing. And I think those I think Triple H being another main event doesn't do anything for him. And I think, obviously, if maybe you put Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon and maybe the semi-main event of SummerSlam, I think that does a lot for Kevin Owens. And since it's McMahon, they'll cover the feud well. And then just to get the next one out, Ryback talking about all those negative comments and stuff, maybe wanting to leave. Do you think maybe him going to Ring of Honor for maybe 3 or 4 years would be good for him and make him a better all-around worker?
Johnny, what do you think?
Ryback and Ring of Honor. I don't, this seems like the worst thing ever. That's horrible. I don't know where I would send Ryback, but probably just home. I think it'd be a strip club in Vegas. I think is working the front door with disco. I think is an ideal gig for Ryback. But I see a lot of natural chemistry with Kevin Owens and Shane. I would rather see that match than Triple H versus Shane. However, I feel like you're taking away a good match from Kevin Owens by doing that. Also, the plant was seed was planted for Kevin Owens and Apollo Crews last night.
A little passing
that was no accident. So
you could have, like, Apollo Crews represented by Shane too, I guess. But Kevin Owens hasn't been exactly best friends with Stephanie and Hunter, so I don't know. I mean, he's kissed up to them a little bit.
He's been friends. They've put over the relationship between Hunter and Kevin. So that relationship has been shown through Twitter, which I guess that was the not kayfabe Twitter post that happened to it. It's tough. You need your decoder. So, but then when Triple H wasn't there and Kevin Owens talked to Stephanie, you know, he's just like, make sure Hunter, knows I said, hey, because we're tight, and she was cool. And then of course she comes back, you're a loser. You're all losers. Everyone would be broke if they didn't work here, just like Big Show and everything else. So, but I think the relationship between Triple H and Kevin Owens is established. So Stephanie, not so much, but Triple H, yes. So it could be like the Donald Trump, Bobby Lashley, Trump thing, and Vince McMahon, or Umaga, or however that went down. So you have Kevin Owens and Apollo Crews as the surrogates at SummerSlam, and I would be more than that would be so much better than Triple H or Shane McMahon having an actual match.
Yeah. All right, Johnny, do you have anything more you want to add about your NXT experience? You mentioned that early in the show. We covered a few things, but
really quickly, I after the show was the day before, I tweeted to Nakamura. He wasn't advertised. I was just like, "Are you going to be there?" And he wrote back, "Yap, YAP," which I was hoping meant yep. And then Bruce Mitchell was quick to tell me, he goes, "Oh no, that's Japanese for I can't make it." And I was like, "Oh no!"
That's hilarious.
And once again, Bruce is just a mean person.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Nakamura doesn't tweet that often. So anyway, so after the show, I had a friend that works with NXT. I was just like, "Hey, can I just get a quick picture with Nakamura?" He tweeted me yesterday. He knows who I am. And the guy's like, "Let me check." So he goes, he's just like, "Sorry, I don't see him." I'm like, "Check again." And then he goes and comes back, 10 minutes later. He's like, "No," I'm like, "I'm the last person in the building." And I'm like, "Just let me walk around back there. I can find him." And the guy's like, "I will lose my job if you're, it's like, it's not like the good old days, there's no one allowed back anymore, blah, blah, blah." And I was just like, "Well, just check with him." Anyway, so he's like, so he holds the curtain back. He's like, "All right, fair play. If you do something stupid, I swear I will kill you." So anyway, so I go through the curtain and Nakamura's like, "You got the blue check. You got the blue." Because I have verified check on Twitter. And I was just like, "Yes." And he's like, "Come on, we hang out." And I'm like, "Yeah." And I'm just like, "You are so effing cool. You have no clue." And he's like, "Yay-o." And I was like, "Wow." Like, I have met literally hundreds of wrestlers in my life, and the only one I can compare Nakamura to hanging out in real life is The Rock. There is a superstar quality I was talking to Jason Powell afterwards, and I talked to Bruce Mitchell. I'm just like, there is no way they can screw this up. This guy is a legitimate superstar. So, and you know, I was quickly told afterwards, oh, they can. If anyone can, they can. But I honestly have never been, there's just an aura about him. He is something truly special. And I think the world will get to see that. I really do.
I'm with you. Do you have time to dip into the mailbag a little bit?
Sure.
Yeah.
So you mentioned Loot Crate earlier. I'm a Loot Crate member, and I love it. I mean, I got a Deadpool shirt I was wearing the other day. They sent a James Bond shirt like a year. Like, it's got really cool stuff. I mean, like, people, when my Loot Crate comes, I usually leave my Loot Crate out, you know, for a couple hours, and if I have friends over, I could have most of my Loot Crate stolen from me within seconds. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff in there, and you know, I suggest anyone give it a try. It's cool stuff. So.
Excellent. Appreciate that. Yeah, I'm sure Loot Crate appreciates the endorsement also. All right. Well,
yeah. One last thing. Sorry.
Sure, that's right.
But before a great Bruce Mitchell story that I'm sure a lot of people will appreciate. Like, you know, I was mentioning Bayley earlier. That first match between Bayley and Sasha Banks on one of the takeovers, Bruce Mitchell texted me at the beginning of the match, and he was just like, "Who would root for Bayley?" Legitimate text. Yep. Like, you know, it's like he watched the video special, you know, like, you know, going into the match, and he's just like, you know, well, Sasha's the one, you know, look at her, you know, she's the boss, you know. So anyway, at the end of the match, he texted me, and he wrote, "I get it. That is, she is unbelievable money." So in one match, she took Bruce from, you know, "I don't get it," to, "Wow, you know, this is the next John Cena." And once again, I don't think they can screw that one up either. You know, and I've had friends who are just like, you know, she's not as hot as the other. And I'm and that's the first thing I noticed. And then the more I started thinking, I'm just like, she wouldn't be as good if she was that hot. Like, you know, she's not the hot one. She's the one that tries harder because she's not, like, you know, that's the one you want. You know, the hot one you date, the other one you marry.
Well, that could get you in trouble. We'll move on, Johnny.
Okay. I'm fortunate enough that I have both.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's good.
But you know what I'm talking about.
I totally do. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. All right, well, let's go to our first question here.
Yeah, please don't tweet that to put that out of context for me.
Like I did for EC3.
I know you sometimes like to do that.
I did it to EC3, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Follow me on Twitter, at PWTorch, and at TheWadeKeller. Or follow our brand at PWTorch, and follow me at TheWadeKeller. How can people follow you, Johnny?
On Twitter, at JohnnyFairplay.
No H.
As Shinsuke Nakamura. No H, and as Shinsuke Nakamura says, I got a blue check beside my name.
Johnny, tell us a story. When did you see that blue check for the first time, and will you remember that moment forever?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure I believe you. You mentioned it six times, so yeah. I think that you would remember when that moment happened.
Yeah, no. I mean, like, I remember my other Survivor and wrestler friends going, "How did you get that blue check? Can you pass on that information to me?" I remember that, but that's about it.
People feel like they're not legit without that. I can tell you one thing: it wasn't Bruce Mitchell. It was not Bruce Mitchell who told you about the blue check.
No, it wasn't. I just don't understand why. I mean, is it just me, or do you feel like you like Todd Martin like immensely better than Bruce at this point? I mean, because I always liked Bruce, but then I'm hearing more and more of the fix, and I'm like, I don't know, my emotions are going crazy.
I think two out of three weeks I immensely like Todd better, and 1 out of 3 weeks I moderately like Bruce better.
Okay, I can live with that. Oh, do you guys have Audible as a sponsor anymore? Do you guys have Audible.com as a sponsor?
Yes.
Or not right now? Or
yes, Audible trial.
Okay, well, I just ordered the Dick Cavett book that came out in the last few months. It's amazing. And if you're looking, you know, for, you know, it's like, is this possibly for me? It's like his stories are so amazing and the details are so there. It's like listening to Bruce Mitchell describe Ric Flair for hours on end.
Oh, fun.
So if you can.
So he narrates. Does he read his own book?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. So here it is. Audible trial. Audible. This is the unexpected plug of the show. AudibleTrial.com.
10 seconds.
AudibleTrial.com/ProWrestlingTorch. That's AudibleTrial.com/ProWrestlingTorch. Dick Cavett. Download it free as part of your free trial. Or choose from over 150,000 other titles.
There you go. So, but his story, like, he talks about, like, Muhammad Ali was one of Dick Cavett's best friends, like, ever. And, like, you know, one time Dick Cavett was, or Muhammad Ali was where Dick Cavett was from, and he was there. And he was just like, hey, he goes, Dick Cavett goes, hey, I know you're near my house. He goes, I'm not there. He goes, you don't need to stay in a hotel. You stay in my house, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, his wife was there, and his wife took care of Muhammad Ali, and Muhammad Ali calls him, and he goes, guess where I am right now? And he was like, where? He goes, I'm sleeping in your bed, and there ain't nothing you can do about it, and your wife's bringing me food. he laughed, and he thought it was the greatest thing ever. So a week later, he gets a call from this, like, redneck. He goes, why do you have a black man staying at your house? That's uncalled. I don't appreciate it. And Dick Cavett was like, I'm sorry. I'm not apologizing. You know, and he was like, you can't do that. And he's just like, well, you know, who is this? And he goes, it's Muhammad Ali. I'm just messing with you.
Funny.
Muhammad Ali does, you know, crazy redneck voices. Who knew? So anyway, it's great stuff.
That's funny. That's funny.
But there you go. Unexpected plug.
Unexpected plug of the show. Appreciate it, Johnny. It we'll let you know how it does.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Johnny. It was a pleasure having you on. You are a great co-host and some great insight and strong opinions, and you're up to date on things. So all the things that I look for in a good co-host here on Tuesday. So we appreciate you filling in the chair that normally has been held by Jason Powell for so long on today's program. Speaking of whom, Jason Powell will be back next week here with me on the PW Torch livecast. So join us then for some analysis of the final playback, final hype for payback. Johnny, thank you again.
Thank you, and go wild.
Yes, thank you. Yes, it was a fun game last night. All right, until next time, Pat McNeil tomorrow. I'll be back Thursday, and then Bruce and Travis Friday, and Jim Valley on Saturday. And if you want more raw discussion and some other opinions on that, check out the James Caldwell-hosted version of the PW Torch livecast. That is every Monday night at the bottom of the hour, 11:30 Eastern. James Caldwell, joined this week by Greg Parks, often also joined by Pat McNeil, and a lot of callers for the post-game show. About an hour and a half of that is available right now on the PWTorchLivecast.com homepage and our RSS feed for the livecast. And again, unlock access to ad-free versions of this show and around 70 to 100 VIP exclusive audio shows every month by going VIP. PWTorch.com/goVIP and MMAtorch.com. Breaking MMA news every single day, updated every single day, live event coverage, special features, the daily top five list, and more. MMATorch.com and the free MMA Torch app on iPhone and Android. Search MMA Torch right now if you're an MMA fan. The big John Jones fight coming up, and you'll want to read the fight card preview by Jamie Pennick and all the coverage from the whole team at MMATorch.com leading into the fight, live during the fight, and Sunday with all their post-fight analysis. That's MMATorch.com, our sister brand. And that'll do it for me for today. Thanks, everybody. Until next time, Wade Keller signing off.